Good morning.
Good morning.
Today, again, we follow the order of service printed out in the bulletin, and our opening hymn is hymn 609, Jesus Sinners Doth Receive. Hymn 609. I invite you to please stand. We bow our heads. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come into your presence to seek your mercy, hear your word, and offer up to you our prayers and praises. Hear us for the sake of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his atoning sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Amen. Today we read Psalm number 7. We read it together in unison. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rendering it in pieces, while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth, and lay mine honor in the dust. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about. For their sakes, therefore, return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, and according to mine integrity that is in me. O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it, and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealings shall come down upon his own pate. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Let us therefore confess our sins unto the Lord our God, and look to him for mercy and forgiveness for the sake of the plenteous redemption accomplished by Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us from all our iniquities. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in our thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. We therefore plead for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of Jesus' holy life and his atoning sacrifice on the cross, I announce unto you the grace and mercy of God, and in the name and stead of Jesus Christ our Savior, proclaim to you forgiveness for all your sins through faith in Jesus' name. Amen. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue by singing hymn 560, Drawn to the Cross Which Thou Hast Blessed. I ask you to please stand for the reading of God's word. The Holy Scriptures we read today are recorded in St. John's Gospel in chapter 3, beginning at verse 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You may be seated. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we again pray your Holy Spirit's blessing today upon the speaking and the hearing of your word, that we might be strengthened and built up in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might hold fast to him as the Messiah, as the Son of God, as our only Savior from sin, that we might follow him and hear the teaching of his word. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. In this last portion of John chapter 3, there is, again, so much that we could look at, but today I want to especially draw your attention to two parts of this. The first is how John acknowledged that he is not the Christ, that he pointed people to Jesus and said that he must increase and I must decrease. We see this in the opening verses of John, of our text today, from John 3, verses 22 through 36. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And so Jesus and his disciples come into Judea along the Jordan River, we assume, and there he is baptizing. And we read that John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. And so before John is put into prison, he's still baptizing. He is still calling on people to acknowledge and repent of their sins and look to the coming one, to the Messiah, who was greater than John, who would redeem them from their sins. But Jesus, also with his disciples, was baptizing people. We often forget this part of his ministry, that he and his disciples were baptizing people, and again, calling them to repent for the kingdom of God is at hand, to repent and to place their faith in God's Messiah and Savior for pardon and forgiveness. And then we read that there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And so they addressed John as Rabbi because he was a teacher of God's word. And they reference Jesus, he that was with thee beyond Jordan. In other words, Jesus, who had been with him, came to him to be baptized, to whom thou bearest witness. Remember that John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And John the Baptist said that he is the Son of God, because the one who sent him to baptize with water told him that he upon whom the Spirit of God descended and remained, this is the Son of God. And so John was pointing people to Jesus. But his disciples notice this, and they say, you know, now everybody's going to Jesus, and not so many are coming here to you anymore. Often something that, you know, people might notice. The elders of a church might say, hey, pastor, you know, the new pastor down the road, everybody is going to his services and hearing him, and not too many people are coming here anymore. You know, what's wrong? You know, maybe something's wrong. We shouldn't be sending people to this new church or this new pastor. But notice John's response. Verse 27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. In other words, in regard to the work of God's kingdom, it is God who brings people and causes them to hear. A man can receive nothing unless it is given to him from heaven. If a man is gathering things and it's not from heaven, that's a dangerous situation, because then he is probably using other means to try to bring people in rather than simply preaching and teaching the word of God as he has been sent to do. He says, ye yourselves bear me witness. You know, you remember what I said, that I said I am not the Christ. John confessed, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. And we saw this earlier in the Gospel of John. He says, but that I am sent before him. He acknowledged that he was sent before the Messiah to prepare the way for the coming, the appearing of the Messiah. He uses this illustration, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friends of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. And so he uses, you know, a little illustration from the time. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The groomsmen don't have the bride, but the groom has the bride. But they rejoice at the voice of the bridegroom, at his joy in his new bride. And so he says, this my joy therefore is fulfilled. He is joyful and happy that people are coming to Jesus and looking to him as their Messiah and Savior, looking to him. And then he says words which I think all of us need to keep in our mind. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony has set to a seal that God is true. And so John is pointing out that he is sent to point people to Jesus. And so he's rejoicing now that people are going to Jesus, their Messiah and Savior. He's rejoicing even though his ministry is declining, because people are going to Jesus and hearing his word. I think I have said this many times before, but this says a lot to us in regard to the ministry of our church and congregation. We would love to see, you know, the seats filled and to be overflowing and to maybe even need to get into a building and more space again for people to come. But it is God who gives these things. It's not something that we can do and accomplish. And if we try to accomplish it with human means, and many do that, it's not of God. We are simply to preach and teach God's word. At the same time, we can rejoice if people are coming to Jesus, even if they're not coming here. If through our witness to the world, through our preaching and teaching of God's word, people are hearing of Jesus and may never come to Merciful Savior Lutheran Church here in Rogers, we can rejoice if they're coming to Jesus and trusting in him. We can rejoice even if other pastors happen to hear and to learn from the word and to hopefully begin preaching and teaching God's word and not human opinion and, you know, doctrinal views of denominations, but to simply teach what the scriptures teach and point people to our Lord Jesus. It's easy, and I know that I've been guilty of this, you know, when a pastor graduates from seminary, they come out of the seminary thinking, you know, I'm going to go out and, you know, through my preaching and teaching, and it's going to change the world. You know, things are just going to really grow. And in my experience, it hasn't quite worked out that way. So many times I've been pastors of churches that are shrinking rather than growing in number. I'm hoping that in all those cases, even though numbers may have gotten smaller, the faith of those who continue to attend grew through the teaching of God's word, and that witness is helping others also go to Jesus. And as a minister, I really need to look at this and just rejoice when people are going to Jesus. It doesn't matter if they come here. What matters is that they follow Jesus and hear his word. And that should give us joy in bearing witness to the Lord Jesus. Because after all, as John says, you know, he that cometh from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. Human pastors and teachers and congregations are of this world. Jesus is from above, and his word is the very word of God. Been talking lately and about, you know, I have tons of books in my office, most of which I probably have never thoroughly read. I've just looked up references here and there, and some maybe I've not even opened. It's time maybe for me to pass those on to somebody who might need them or might wish to use them. But at the same time, I feel like I have everything I need to bear witness to Christ if I have a faithful Bible translation. And I like to have the Greek and the Hebrew to reference to look at. I don't need all the commentaries and explanations, because when you read what people say, this one says this, and this one says something different, and nobody seems to agree, and you walk away more confused than if you simply took what the Bible said at face value and looked up the cross references and things that talk about the same thing to learn what God says about this and understand it. And where you don't understand, pray that God would give you understanding through his word. And so Jesus must increase. We must decrease. When the kingdom of God grows, Jesus gets the glory, not us. And that's what it's about, pointing people to Jesus. I can't save anybody. I can't even save myself. I depend on Jesus. And I need to point other people to Jesus so that they depend upon him and what he did for them when he suffered and died upon the cross. And so John says, "For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." You know, God gives us his Holy Spirit, but he gave Jesus the Holy Spirit without measure. And I don't think it's that God would not give us the Holy Spirit without measure, but that we limit the working of the Holy Spirit in us because we constantly seem to be resisting the leading and guiding and teaching of the Holy Spirit. And so because of our sinfulness, the Holy Spirit is given to us, you know, in limited measure, as much as God can give us, he gives us. Of course, we will have the fullness of God's Spirit when we are raised up on the last day and no more sin. But Jesus was given the Holy Spirit without measure. His word is true and pure, where my understanding, because of my own darkened, sinful mind, is limited, and I'm not able to share with you and teach you all that Jesus can teach you through his word. And I think the second point here, and I think one of the most beautiful points, is really the simplicity of the gospel. And I think sometimes pastors and teachers and churches like to make the gospel a little bit more complex than it is, but it's just so very basic. And, you know, we've already seen that in earlier in this chapter, where Jesus pointed out, you know, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Christian faith is acknowledging that we are sinners. We can't save ourselves. You know, the poison of sin is in us, flowing through our veins, bringing about death. And it directs us to look to Jesus in the same way as people look to the brass serpent on the pole that they might live, to look in faith to Jesus and what he's done for us. And that's what's brought out in these last words of this chapter. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. God entrusted the salvation of the world, the salvation of lost sinners, to his Son, Jesus Christ. There is no alternative plan, because Jesus would succeed. Jesus came into the world, and though he was tempted, and though the devil sought to turn him away from that path, Jesus fulfilled all the demands of God's law perfectly for us. Not just outwardly, like many of the Pharisees may have done, but inwardly, in his thoughts, in his desires, perfect and holy, perfect love for God, perfect love for fellow man, which meant, you know, he had to say harsh things at times to rebuke sin, but then he offered comfort and forgiveness through his grace and mercy. And our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, even though it was not a path that anyone would want to take, especially one in full communion with God, to be then condemned by God to have to bear the guilt and iniquity of the sins of all people. Yet our Lord Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done." He willingly went to the cross. He suffered your punishment and my punishment, punishment for the sins of the world, that we might look to Jesus' cross and find mercy and forgiveness, because there atonement was made for our sins through the shedding of Jesus' blood. And it's so simple, as verse 36 brings out, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Not just a head knowledge believing, but, you know, the Greek word here indicates a reliance, a trust in the Son. "So that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." The one who acknowledges his sinfulness and places his trust in Jesus and what he accomplished on the cross has forgiveness for his sins, he has everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. The one who does not trust in Jesus and his cross will never see life, will never understand and know the grace and mercy of God and the forgiveness that Jesus won for them. And it says, the wrath of God abideth on him. The King James does a good job of translating the present tense, perhaps more clearly than modern English does. When it says abideth on him, it means it's continuing to abide, continuing to dwell on him. What that says is the one who believes is justified, forgiven, has eternal life. The one who does not believe is not justified, but he's under the wrath of God. It's abiding on him, and he will not even ever see or know life. Jesus, you know, own words in earlier in the chapter when he said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then at verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, which means he is justified if he believes in Jesus. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Certainly means he's not justified if he's condemned. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so, if we're going to mention this justification thing again, objective and subjective justification, Jesus' very words and the words of the Gospel of John in their simplicity state so clearly that only those who have faith in Jesus are justified and forgiven and have life. Those who do not have faith in Jesus are condemned, which certainly means they are not counted just and righteous in God's eyes. They're condemned because they've not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So the scriptures clearly teach that justification is through faith in Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for us on the cross. That's not a universal justification. It's a justification of those who, by the grace of God, are brought to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And when I speak of the simplicity of the gospel, we will come to this probably next week in our Bible class, and I read this to you last week. John also writes of this in his first epistle in chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So this is the record. This is the testimony of God, which he gives to us through the scriptures, that he has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So Jesus won for us eternal life in him, through faith in him. It makes it even more clear. He hath the Son, hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so the only way to have life, the only way to have forgiveness and pardon of God, to be accepted as his child, to be in communion with God, is through faith in Jesus Christ. If you don't have the Son of God, you don't have life. You're condemned. You're under his wrath. But God desires that we all turn to the Lord Jesus, that, as John the Baptist pointed people to Jesus, we look to Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and place our faith in him that we might be pardoned, forgiven, and have life. God grant that to all of you for the sake of our Lord Jesus. Amen. This time we continue our worship by bringing forward our offerings. Thank you. invite you to please stand and join in prayer. Merciful Father, for the sake of the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, forgive us for failing to walk by faith in the promises of your word. Move us to read and study our Bibles regularly and to come before you with our petitions and praises. Keep us from being overcome by our sinful inclinations, and preserve us in the true and saving faith unto life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. O Christ Jesus, eternal Son of God and our Savior, you gave your life for ours when you died on the cross and made atonement for our sins. Bless the work of our pastor and congregation, and of faithful pastors, missionaries, and congregations everywhere, so that your life-giving word might be proclaimed among us and among the peoples of the world, and those who hear might repent of their sins and look to you and your cross for pardon and forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy. O Holy Spirit, do not forsake us because of our weakness and disobedience to your word. Be patient with us and move us to continually repent of our sins and look in faith to our Savior for mercy. Teach us from your word, strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith. Lord, in your mercy. O loving and merciful God, our nation and people are living in darkness and are under your wrath and judgment. Open the eyes and ears of our people and rulers that they might see and hear the truth of your word, repent of their evil deeds, and fall down at the feet of Jesus, pleading for pardon and forgiveness, and then seeking to walk in your ways, that your judgment may be turned away and your eternal wrath against us be averted. Lord, in your mercy. O healer and preserver of our bodies and souls, as you have promised, we ask you to provide for all our needs and to preserve us from all harm and danger and all evil. We lift up to you those among us who are afflicted. We remember especially today Linda and John, Joyce, Carl, Harley, Donna, John and Karen, and all others we name in our hearts. Have mercy upon us, grant healing to the sick, comfort to the oppressed, and strength for all to endure the troubles and afflictions of this life, in the hope of everlasting glory, for the sake of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Lord, in your mercy. We pray also the prayer which our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I read to you the words of institution from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Again, I invite you to please come forward. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. The Lord bless you and keep you in his baptismal grace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Now may this holy body and precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you for Jesus' sake. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, we thank you for fulfilling all righteousness in our stead, and then taking upon yourself the guilt and punishment for all our sins, and making full atonement for us by your perfect sacrifice on the cross. And we thank and praise you for giving us to partake of your one holy sacrifice, that we might also partake of the blessings you won for us by your death, and have made sure to us by your glorious resurrection. Strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith, and move us to live our lives for you while we await your glorious return and the joys of your everlasting kingdom. Amen. Receive now the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You may be seated. We close by singing hymn 632. Again, a welcome to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As far as announcements, just a reminder that next week we have our congregational meeting following our service, and service will be an hour earlier next week because of daylight savings time. It'll be the same time on the clock, but it'll be an hour earlier. So, don't forget to turn your clocks ahead on Saturday night, or you want to get up at 2 o'clock Sunday morning and do what you can. So, any other announcements this morning? I don't know about me and bumping things up here, but you maybe need to keep an eye on me if I keep having too much trouble. So, God's blessings then. Thank you.